AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning, America. Alex McFarland here, sitting in for Jeff Shreve, and I welcome you to the program. It's going to be a great show. We have a great analyst and news thought leader, Alex Newman, here that I'll bring to the mic in just a moment. But I want to open with a scripture. And there's a lot in the news to talk about, but I open with 2 Corinthians 3:5 that says, "Our power and ability and sufficiency are from God." And you know, that's really true. And I was doing some research for all the programming, and I came across a story that I thought was very fascinating. Late in the life of Albert Einstein, a PhD Princeton University student went to see Albert Einstein and asked, "What is there left in the world for original dissertation research?" And I don't know where Einstein was spiritually or anything like that, but the student says, "You know, what is there left to research that I might possibly do my dissertation on?" And Einstein said, "My advice, find out about prayer." You know, he had seen World War II, lived through much of the Cold War, the development of the nuclear bombs. "My advice, find out about prayer." Well, if ever the world needed to pray and turn back to God, that time is now, and we're going to talk about a number of the issues in the news. We'll, later on, we'll take some calls, too. So if you want to bring a question to myself or Alex Newman, you got two Alexes this morning, McFarland and Newman. But Alex Newman is known with the Liberty Sentinel and their great news and coverage. And Alex Newman also has a new book out, Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, Government Schools, War on Faith, Family, and Freedom, and How to Stop It. And that, man, that book has got some high-profile endorsements. People like Kirk Cameron, Secretary of Defense nominee Pete Hegseth, and more. We'll talk about this and other things as well, but very honored to bring to the microphone right now of Liberty Sentinel, Alex Newman. Good morning, my friend.
Hey, it's great to be with you. Thank you for having me, Alex.
Well, thanks for being on. You've graciously had me on a number of media platforms, and there's just so much in the news, and I want to get to the story that really is so heartbreaking, which is the school shooting, the private Christian school shooting there in Wisconsin. Just initial thoughts on that, Alex.
Yeah, it's incredibly tragic, and unfortunately, it's happening way too much. It is, I believe, a symptom of a society that has largely turned its back on God, and I think we're going to see more of this if we continue on the current trajectory. And it does seem like there's been an inordinate amount of these at Christian schools. I know we don't have all the details yet from what they're reporting in the media. It appears to have been a female student or former student who is suspected. And we've had a few of these, even just over the last year, where young girls, young women who were completely radicalized, indoctrinated, brainwashed, confused, told that they might be a different gender and that they could be subjected to a gender change or a sex change and that that would make them feel better. You know, we've seen some of these girls go down these paths, always with incredibly tragic results. And so I hope the folks will pray for the victims, pray for the families involved. And yeah, I think there really is ultimately only one solution to this, and that is repentance, national repentance, turning back to God, and ending this horrific cycle, this descent into total depravity.
You know, Alex, when the news was breaking yesterday about the school shooting there at, sadly, how ironic, the name Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin, and our hearts break for that. Our prayers are with those victims and their families. But I thought about, I think it was Nashville, Tennessee, Covenant Christian School, probably a year ago. The shooter that also was a female. And by the way, one thing that puzzled me, that shooter's writings or manifesto was never released to the public. And I've got my suspicions on why I think that is. But let me say this about youth in general. And these, you know, two different Christian school shootings, two different shooters that were both female, with so much about sexual license and gender fluidity and just the imposition of LGBTQ trans ideology into the media, the culture. I want to throw this out there, Alex. Not only has it not set people free, young people, adolescents that are in development and trying to find out who they are, I would submit that it's caused a crisis of identity and really put people not in freedom but in bondage, and an emotional turmoil sadly manifest in the most tragic ways, like and it's not always this extreme, to be sure, but these shootings and the crisis psychologically that would birth something like this, I think it's due to the ideology that's all around us that rejects God, rejects truth, just rejects reality.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Alex. And I would go a step further. Over the last year or so, I have condensed a lot of what I've written over the last 15 years when it comes to education into a talk called Doctrines of Demons, What Are Our Children Being Taught? And this, in many cases, and this is especially true in government schools, but it's also very unfortunately even starting to infect Christian schools, Christian homeschool groups. I've been unbelievably alarmed to see some of this creeping in gradually into Christian education. But you have, and I can document this with videos, with documents and writings from the people themselves, we literally have now doctrines of demons in the most literal sense possible, informing pedagogy, education, mm-hmm. curriculum, syllabus, even methodologies. And I'll give you three very clear, very easy to prove examples that I think will show what I'm talking about here. The latest craze, and anybody who works in education can tell you all about this, it's called social emotional learning. And it's marketed to parents, and you'll see this in a lot of Christian schools too. Now, they'll sprinkle a few Bible verses out of context on top and say, oh, it's Christian SEL. No, it's not Christian SEL. There's no such thing. But this SEL movement originated at the Fetzer Institute, which is a New Age institution based up in Michigan, founded by a wealthy, wealthy New Ager who was a disciple of Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company. Mm-hmm. So that's where this idea for SEL came from. The lady who is now leading the charge, and all this, by the way, is funded by Bill Gates and others. The lady who's leading the charge is Professor Linda Lantieri at Columbia University's Teachers College, which it is, without even a close second, the most important college of education in the world. And Linda Lantieri, I have her on video acknowledging that she's getting her ideas from what she claims first is her dead friend. And then she says, but I don't like to say she's passed on because I talk to her every day. She comes to my counsel table. So I like to say she exists in another dimension. I have her on video saying she would not even dispute that she is getting her ideas from some other source. Now, she says it's a dead person or an interdimensional being. We, of course, as Christians who read the Bible, know that she's obviously communicating with demons. These things are strictly forbidden in the scriptures. And so that's one example among many. You have then the World Core Curriculum that the UN says should be taught to every child in every school in every country. Literally, the guy who wrote it, Robert Mueller, Assistant Secretary General of the UN, says he got his ideas from the lady I mentioned, Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company. So this stuff has infected education, not just across the United States, but around the world. And kids didn't used to commit suicide. Kids didn't used to shoot each other. This is a recent phenomenon, and I believe it is a product of doctrines of demons being taught to children as if they were truth.
And you know what? Let me say, there are so many churches, denominations, and ministries that would never teach on such things. And I know that, you know, in the Christian worldview, we love to preach and teach about salvation and all the glorious, wonderful promises we have when we know the Lord Jesus. And that's a huge part of the Christian reality. But I really believe the church should give a fully orbed message about reality, spiritual warfare. Yes, we are victorious in Christ, and yes, we have all of the promises of God, yea and amen, but until we get to heaven, I like what Chuck Swindoll said many years ago, Alex. There was a book called Rise and Shine, and Chuck Swindoll, he said to the church, he said, look, don't get too comfortable here. We're not home yet. We're not in heaven yet. The journey of life for the Christian is a journey across raw pagan soil, said Chuck Swindoll. And that's really true. And I think we need to equip the church to know about, yes, we're victorious in Christ, but Satan and his minions in the invisible realm are all around us.
Yeah, and when you read the scripture, this comes through loud and clear. And you're right, a lot of pastors hesitate to teach on this. They're concerned that somebody in the audience maybe might think it's a little bit kooky. You know, somebody in the congregation might say, what is he talking about? But this is reality. If you read the scriptures, the Apostle Paul articulates it most clearly in Ephesians chapter 6. Our enemies are not flesh and blood. They're powers, they're principalities, a spiritual wickedness in high places. And as Christians, we need to understand that there is a whole reality that we can't necessarily see with our eyes, but that absolutely interacts with the physical plane that we exist in and that we perceive through our senses. And so when this kind of, you know, people think this New Age stuff is just harmless, you know, we're just going to play with a Ouija board, we're just going to pretend like we're talking to dead people. This stuff is incredibly dangerous, and God warns us in as clear a terms as possible. Throughout the scripture, going all the way back to the early books of the Old Testament, he warns about necromancy and divination and witchcraft and sorcery. These are not a joke. And so to see this instilled in children, not just through entertainment, but even through tax-funded education, really, I think, should lead inevitably to the conclusion that we should expect to see very rotten fruit from that. And, of course, that's exactly what we're seeing. Not just murders in schools, not just suicide, not just drug abuse, but also the collapse of families and abortion and all these different things that we're seeing all around us. I do believe much of this, not all of it, certainly. We don't want to take away, you know, the sin element and all that, but there's absolutely a nexus here with the demonic. And as Christians, we should not just understand that, but we should know how to effectively combat that and especially protect our children from that.
You remember in Ephesians 4:27, it says, do not give the devil a foothold. And some translations say an opportunity. But the word, it's fascinating, the word in the English Bible translated foothold is the word topography, like a piece of land, you know, the topography of the land. We don't want to give Satan any place in our life to latch on, or certainly in the lives of our children. And you mentioned things like a Ouija board. I want to say, church, do not read the horoscope. Have nothing to do with that. Any kind of fortune-telling thing. And I know kids, you know, it seems like, you know, exciting and fascinating and things like that. I think we need to raise our kids to realize the one roadmap for life, the one source of information to which we turn and believe, is God's Word. And in the spirit of Ephesians 4:27, you know, we don't let Satan have any piece of land in our home, no topography, no foothold. But we're talking with Alex Newman. Hey, we've got a brief break coming up, Alex, and I want you to cue up, if you would, your book and where people can get that, Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, basic premise of the book and where people can find it.
Perfect. So the book is Indoctrinating Our Children to Death. The point is, our children are under attack through the public school system, through dumbing down, sexualization, indoctrination, even doctrines of demons. This is now becoming a global phenomenon. Easiest place to get it is Amazon, but it's also available wherever good books are sold and on my website, libertysentinel.org.
Hey, folks, Alex McFarland here with Alex Newman of the Liberty Sentinel. Stay tuned. We've got a break. We're back after this. Plus, we'll take your calls.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop. So we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Good morning, everybody, and Merry Christmas. We're getting close, and I hope you're all set for just a joyous, Jesus-filled Christmas. And, you know, the Bible says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. I mean, it just is so amazing to think about how the Son of God came from heaven to earth, virgin born, sinless life, miraculous deeds, paid the sin debt of humanity on the cross, rose from the dead. And as I'm talking with Alex Newman about spiritual warfare, the soul of our nation, the future of our children, let's remember of this glorious biblical worldview, 2 Peter 1:16, of the gospel. It says, we have not followed cleverly devised fables. This is reality, folks. And so I encourage you to give your heart to Christ, become a believer, then grow in the Lord. And, you know, Alex, whenever I read Romans 12 and it says that we're to renew our mind, you don't hear a lot of teaching about the fact that when we come to Christ, our spirit is regenerated. We're made alive. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, 2 Corinthians 5, 17, the sin is gone, we're made new. But for the rest of our life, we are to grow our mind, our knowledge, our intellect, based on the Word of God, the lens of Scripture. You don't hear about, at least I didn't hear it coming up, about the Christian privilege and responsibility to attend to the life of the mind, the stewardship of our mind. I never heard that taught on very much. Did you?
I did not. And, you know, I kind of navigated my own way after coming to know the Lord. It was a process. And you just kind of have to go through everything that you think you know, everything you think you believe, everything you were taught growing up, and sort out, you know, is that real? Does that line up with the truth of the Scripture? And as you find junk that doesn't, you need to get that out, and you need to reject that, and you need to be conformed to God's Word, not the world, not the pattern of the world. So this is, I mean, it's just so critical. And I do believe this is a lifelong process, just like sanctification. You know, yes, you get saved, and it's not that every single sin in your life is immediately crucified, mortified, and expelled from your life. It's a process, and I believe it's very important for Christians to encourage fellow Christians, and I believe it's important for pastors and elders to encourage the folks in their congregation to be very deliberate about that process. It's an amazing process. It brings great joy, and I believe it improves life in a very tangible sense on an ongoing basis.
Your book, and if you're just tuning in, folks, Alex Newman is just a gift to the church. I have to tell you, it was just several years ago that I really became aware of your work. And I want you to check out his book, Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, Government Schools War on Faith, Family, and Freedom, and How to Stop It. But talk about the Sentinel Report and the Liberty Sentinel and the work there, Alex. Bring people up to speed on that.
Well, thanks again, Alex. I really appreciate that. So the Liberty Sentinel is actually, it started in college. We realized that the news was just so dishonest and so fake. At the time, I was writing for a newspaper owned by the New York Times, and I realized very quickly this was not something I was going to be able to do for a career. And I wasn't aware of a lot of really good publications that were solid, that were dedicated to reporting the truth. And so I got together with some friends and we just started one. We started originally a print newspaper, and that has evolved over the years. That was almost 20 years ago now. And today we have a company that produces a lot of things, including the Sentinel Report, which is a show that we do three times a week. And of course, the goal is to glorify God, but we do that through different ways. We always do have a little introduction with some scripture, some thoughts on theology, things that we think are important from the Word of God that maybe relate to current events or relate to what's going on. And then we bring on guests like you, people who can talk about what's happening in the culture, what's happening in the world, what's happening in the economy, what's happening in the international arena with the UN or whatever the case may be, from a biblical perspective, from a perspective that would edify the church, that would edify God's people, so that we can think about every area of life through a biblical lens. So that's kind of our goal with that. The show is available in a lot of different places. It airs first on Frank Speech on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And then from there, it's picked up by six or seven different streaming platforms, various cable broadcasters, a few dozen AM, FM stations across the country. And of course, we put it on our Rumble channel as well. We stopped putting it on YouTube because we recognized very quickly that YouTube wasn't going to tolerate biblical truth on things like marriage, sexuality, gender, and other matters. But it is widely available, and people can find all that at my website, libertysentinel.org.
So the question that I almost led out with, but let's get to it now, the drones, the phenomenon in the sky. I've been reading everything I can about these things, and I've got my ideas, but what's your thought on this, Alex? What do you think about all these drones? Is it from our own military just conditioning us to be used to a constant state of surveillance?
I think that's a very real possibility. And I also suspect, Alex, and I can't prove this yet, but I suspect our government knows a lot more about what's really going on than they're letting on. Mm-hmm. Could it be a hostile foreign power? Absolutely. Could it be communist China? Could it be even the Iranians, as some have alleged? I think that's possible. But I do think people need to realize that these drones are now here. And if you look at what's happening, for example, in Russia and Ukraine, you will see that drones have actually become an integral part of warfare. So life as we knew it even 10 or 20 years ago is going to fundamentally change. And, you know, we'll know more details, I think, about these drones in the months ahead. But we know for sure drones are being used not just across the United States, but around the world for surveillance. We know for sure that they're being used around the world for targeted assassinations. And of course, the U.S. government was the pioneer on this. If you go back to Afghanistan and even in places that weren't technically war zones, Yemen, Somalia, you know, the U.S. government has been using drones and drone-fired missiles and rockets to take out people they allege are terrorists and things like this. So I think these are going to become ubiquitous in the years ahead.
Yeah.
And it would behoove all of us to think about this and pray about this, because life is going to be very different as we move into this new world of artificial intelligence and drones and robotics and nanotechnology. And it's coming very, very fast. And I think most people are not ready for it.
Yeah, and you know, ubiquitous is the right word. There was a video posted on social media just this morning. I was looking at it, and I do so much flying. I tell people I've seen the world over the last 20 years from three vantage points: pulpits, staring at congregations, you know, hotel rooms, and airplane windows. So there's this video of, you know, the oval little airplane window, some commercial flight. And just looking out across the vast sky, there's like 8 or 10 of these lights bobbing up and down, these drones. They're just in the sky. And, you know, in a way, it does kind of grieve me because it was always, you know, I don't like to be in the big cities too much. I am all the time, but I'm a country boy. I like to get out in the woods. I like to get out in God's creation where it's quiet and you can just, you know, commune with the Lord. But really, it doesn't matter where you go. The globe is becoming a wired up, you know, closed circuit TV, always on camera, surveillance state. And Alex, I personally believe the wiring of the planet and the fact that, like in China right now, folks, basically, if you're outdoors, you are on camera, and based on facial recognition software and even the way people walk, your gait of your walk, I was told by an Intel expert, Alex, that the more than 1 billion people in China, the Chinese government can identify and isolate the location of any citizen in about 22 seconds. That's a surveillance state, and it's really becoming such for the entire planet, as far as we know, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And one of the horrific things to ponder is that a lot of this technology that's being used in communist China to totally surveil and control their citizens came out of the United States, right? Whether they stole it or purchased it is almost immaterial. And you're right, the reality is this is a global phenomenon. Even in very, very remote areas, drones are able to capture data that is so granular, so nitty gritty that, as you said, they can identify people based on how they walk, based on thermal signatures, based on just pieces of their face, of their eye. And I think as we move more and more toward global tyranny, and I do believe we're probably going to have a nice 4-year respite here, although maybe with some crises and chaos thrown into the mix. But as we move more and more toward global tyranny, these tools are going to be, at least if the evildoers and their masters get their way, they're going to be turned on Christians at some point.
Yes.
And so all this stuff is, I think, very good to be in prayer about. It's very good to at least have thought about some of this. And, of course, we don't want to be ignorant of Satan's devices. We don't want to be naive and just pretend like 10 years from now is going to be just like it was 10 years ago. Things are changing now very rapidly. And if you listen to the big tech titans, they will even say humanity is not ready for this. They have no idea what's coming. It's a very different world that we're entering into.
So what do you believe? And by the way, folks, we're talking with Alex Newman of the Liberty Sentinel. After the next break, we are going to take phone calls. The number 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. What do you think of the spiritual implications of Trump's decisive victory November 5th, won by 10 million votes? And, you know, the sad thing, Alex, so many of my fellow pastors and fellow clergy would, like, even scoff at this. I've got pastoral friends who I love dearly, but they are so politically and culturally unengaged. I happen to believe for America there were pretty significant spiritual overtones and implications in the last election. But on a spiritual level, what do you think of the 2024, the outcome of the 2024 elections?
That's a good question, Alex. I do believe that this was really an act of mercy on God's part for the United States. I don't think any of us who read God's word can come to the conclusion that America deserved mercy.
I know.
That we
Amen.
Deserved for, right? We're still killing our babies. We're still transgendering our children. We're still collapsing our families. You know, America is unfortunately on a very dangerous spiritual path. And while there are very hopeful signs, there are also a lot of troubling elements. And so this, I believe, was undeserved mercy, undeserved grace God has granted us. It seems like a brief respite. I do hope that Trump will surround himself with people of God, people who will speak God's word into his thinking, into his policies. I do have some concerns about some of the people he has nominated already. The Treasury Secretary comes to mind, an open practicing homosexual. But overall, I think he's made a lot of really good picks in his transition team, including quite a few that I know personally. I actually, the man that he nominated for Secretary of Defense wrote a glowing endorsement for my book, Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, Pete Hegseth. So sure. I think there's going to be some really good people around him who are going to bring some good perspectives in. And, you know, we now have a four-year opportunity as Christians to really take advantage of this time, use the time wisely. Let us encourage our fellow Americans to repent, to turn to Christ, to open up God's word, to be in prayer. Let us take this opportunity to preach the gospel, not just across our country, but around the world. Because we don't know what it's going to look like in 4 years, but based on current trajectories, could be a very rough time. So we now have 4 years. Let's, as Christians, use it as best we can for the glory of God, for the honor of God, for the expansion of his kingdom. And just on the whole subject of politics, I get really frustrated when pastors and even just, you know, laity, just Christians in the church, say, oh, well, you know, we don't want to think about politics too much. You know, what area of your life is God not the Lord over? What part of your life is your thinking and your mind Christ not the Lord of? And if he's not the Lord of your politics, you got a problem.
Preach it, brother. You know, I worked on the Truth Project 20 years ago, which was a biblical worldview curriculum put out by Focus on the Family. It was very, very well done. Dr. Del Tackett was really the lead on the Truth Project. But he would often say, look in any direction, you know, education, economics, law, politics, you know, psychology. But he said, 360 degrees, look in any direction and God has spoken. And what he meant by that was that, like you say, Jesus is Lord of every realm. And that would include the judiciary, politics. And, the church where I became a Christian, when I began to follow Chuck Colson and James Dobson and Francis Schaeffer and Tim LaHaye, this was in the late 80s, early 90s, as I was, you know, the light bulb was coming on in my mind. The church where I got saved, the pastor kind of reprimanded me, and he said, well, now, you know, religion and politics don't mix. But I kind of intuitively knew that it did and it had to. Like you say, Alex, you sort of forged your own path intellectually, and in a way I did as well. What advice do you have for the person that's, you know, they intuitively sense there's more than they've heard in Sunday school? Well, listen, we've got a break. Hold that thought. Alex McFarland here. My website, alexmcfarland.com. Alex Newman. Give your website, then we're going to come back and take calls. Alex, your website before this break, please.
LibertySentinel.org. Thank you.
LibertySentinel.org. Well, this is the American Family Radio Network, Real Truth for Today. Alex McFarland, so honored that you're listening. The number, 888-589-8840. We have one of our premier Christian thinkers and analysts on the line, Alex Newman. We'll continue the conversation with him when we get back. Stay tuned.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. If you recognize my voice, it's probably from a show called Exploring the Word, which is heard live 5 days a week on the American Family Radio Network. And what we do on Exploring the Word, we teach the Bible. And in the last 10-plus years, Bert Harper and I, we have taught through the entire Word of God, every chapter, every verse, a couple of times. Right now, we're in the book of Micah, and with Christmas coming, we taught through Micah, and we're just wrapping up Micah 4, and we'll get to Micah 5, which has, of course, the very famous prophecy about Jesus' birth in the Bethlehem manger. But we invite you 3 to 4 Central, 4 to 5 Eastern, and in the time zone of your choice, listen to Exploring the Word. But right now, I've got the privilege of sitting in, and we're talking with Alex Newman of the Liberty Sentinel. And before the break, and we're going to go to calls, and I see we've got callers on hold, but I was kind of queuing up a question, Alex. Do you have any advice for the person who says, look, I'm a Christian, but it's time that I really build up my biblical worldview? It's really time to train myself to see the news, reality, through the lens of God's Word. What advice do you have for developing a consistently held Christian worldview?
Well, thank you, Alex. And my journey was just so much fun and so fascinating. And when I first came to know the Lord, the Holy Spirit just, I believe, supernaturally opened up my heart, opened up my mind, and just showed me the Bible is true. Everything Amen. In the Bible is true. Of course, I had not read the Bible, so that was kind of problematic. And I called my godmother, who had been praying for me all those years. You were right. You were right. The Bible is true. So I talked with her, and she encouraged me to start by reading the Gospel of John. But this is going to sound really simple, almost stupidly simple, but just read the Bible. Read the Bible. I started in the New Testament. Started in the Gospels, went through Acts, went through the letters and the epistles, went through Revelation, which, of course, I'll fully admit, I did not understand the first few times I read it. It was very difficult to understand. And then I went back to the Old Testament in Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, and all the way through the prophets. And then I did it again, and then I did it again, and then I did it again. And as I was doing that, I was very deliberately and very systematically asking myself, you know, what do I think is true? What did I learn in school? Is that actually true? And then eventually I came to the question of evolution. And that was a really tough one for me. I did know the Lord, but when I was about 20 years old, somebody asked me if I believed in evolution. And I laughed at the poor guy. I was like, what kind of ridiculous question is that? Of course you believe. I mean, who doesn't believe in evolution? And then God worked in me and showed me that actually I was sadly mistaken. I had been misled. And so it's a continual process of reading the Word, being in prayer, and you know, there's a lot of great teachers out there, people like you, Alex, that talk about putting things into a biblical context, seeing the world through a biblical worldview. And so I encourage people to be really deliberate about that. And again, foolishly simple, but just read the Bible every day as much as you can and be in prayer that God would show you what that means and how to apply it.
Well said. Well said. Well, we're going to go to some calls and questions. Our guest, Alex Newman, and we're going to begin in Tennessee. Ron in Tennessee, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks, Alex and Alex.
We got two of them. Two Alexes.
Yeah, I got two today. Okay, look, how are we going to move forward with removing this mass hypnosis of the American public to trust God, to get away from trusting the government? And if we can't do the first things first, like we went through this COVID stuff, and the manufacturers of the vaccines have complete immunity from doing any harm whatsoever to any lawsuit or any filing for damages when they hurt people, that's got to go. And I wonder, why did people accept this? And I'm looking throughout the years, all of this, you know, I went on a big rabbit hole, deep dive on why do people trust the public spokesholes and the government voices to tell us what to do when it does harm to us, and they don't even see it. Like going back to Edward Bernays and the Dulles brothers and then the CIA and all the other screwery that we were warned about with the military-industrial complex coming forward, draining us into this debt trap that we're in. Now it's hockey-sticking, okay? And then, like in California, let's say in the mid-70s, we were told that you had to have mandatory auto insurance. And this is just as the European import cars started coming up and you're getting $50,000 cars, $100,000 cars. It seems like the wealthy wanted this. It's called the Robbins-McAllister Act. In the mid-70s.
Okay, hang on, Ron.
In California, it's spread everywhere.
Alex, I want to give you a chance to, respond. And it's like with Obamacare, for the first time, the government was making citizens buy a product, i.e., government tampered with health insurance. But let's go back to the first part of the question, Alex. What about the immunity that Dr. Fauci and so many of the purveyors of COVID and all things COVID? So many people that radically harm the lives. Look, I know so many people that died in a hospital. Look, because I was pastoring during the COVID, I was pastoring a small church in North Carolina. And Alex, I still think about the pain and suffering of people whose family members died and they were not able to see them. The pastor that discipled me when I was a brand new believer, his wife died right in the middle of COVID. For weeks, she was in the hospital, and no family was allowed to be near her. I ended up doing this lady's funeral, and her husband, a retired pastor, just devastated for like the last 2.5-3 weeks of her life. He was not even allowed to be in there. Just speak to that, if you would, Alex. This side of eternity, do you see any justice coming for Fauci or the COVID overlords?
Yeah, all very good questions. And thank you to the caller. Thank you, Alex. And this is an issue that actually affected me in the most personal way possible. My dad took the shot, and literally the next day, his heart stopped. And I am absolutely 100% convinced it was a direct result of the COVID injection. Mm-hmm. And then I tried to get documents from the FDA, the CDC, the Department of Health and Human Services, and for 3 years, they have stonewalled me at every single turn. So I am just as frustrated about this as anyone. I am hoping that Robert F. Kennedy will come in and really bring in some radical transparency, open up the discussion, expand the Overton window, and hopefully bring about some accountability. I've spoken with him several times, and he has been vehement for years now that we must have justice here, we must have accountability, and perhaps just as importantly, we must make sure that this never happens again. So on each of those issues, the immunity from liability, the accountability for what has already happened, he's been very, very strong on that. So I'm hopeful that he'll get confirmed, and I'm hopeful that he'll be able to open up the books, make some referrals to the Department of Justice, and I do believe we actually need criminal prosecutions here. I think in many cases this was deliberate. These things were done knowingly. These weren't just acts of stupidity. So I am hopeful that we could see justice. But the broader point that the caller raised, how are we going to get past all of this? I don't believe there's any route to restoring sanity and justice and truth and liberty in this country without addressing what is happening to our children. We're now about five generations into this mass experiment of educating children without the Bible, without a biblical worldview. And, of course, Congress and our government in this country are a reflection of we the people. If we the people are not educated in the Bible and what God teaches, and by the way, the Bible teaches more about government than it does about heaven, then how can we expect to have a godly government where we have truth, liberty, and justice? So we've got to get back to training and discipling our children in the way that the Lord has commanded us, instructing and discipling in the fear and discipline and admonition of the Lord. And unless and until we do that, I don't see any hope for a long-term restoration of those precious values that we hold dear.
Paul in Texas, thanks for holding. Welcome to our conversation with Alex Newman.
Yes, thank you. I was wondering if Mr. Newman had any particulars or observations about this Corporate Transparency Act. I had never heard of it, except that I'm on the board of directors for Homeowners Association. So we vote on, which lawn care service to vote or, when to replace the swimming pool pump. And we're unpaid volunteers, yet our management company is telling us we have to register, and part of that registration, for people that haven't heard about it, is if you own a company or an LLC or you are 25% or more responsible for the decisions in a corporation, you're supposed to send off a registration that includes a picture of government ID to an organization called FinCEN, which is in Treasury, and they exist to track financial crimes. So it seems like this is a power grab to make everybody in America who is involved with companies to go to a new federal database.
Yeah, it was put in place this year. Alex, are you familiar with this?
I am, yes. In fact, one of my companies was already subjected to these requirements, and I can tell you what, it was a giant headache, and it cost a lot of money, and I can see no conceivable reason, at least no conceivable legitimate reason, why the government needs to have these minute details on every corporate institution in the country and the people involved in them. In fact, when we talk about transparency, we should be talking about government transparency.
Exactly.
We the people have a right to privacy. We have a right not to be overburdened with this kind of arbitrary and capricious rulemaking and regulation. So I'm hoping that Donald Trump and the new Congress can rein some of this stuff in.
Exactly. Paul, thank you for making us aware of this because, I mean, look, the intrusion continues, and I can tell you this is why I do believe the Trump presidency was a gift from God, because the Corporate Transparency Act, I mean, it was coming for churches and ministries too, that you basically would have to submit all of your financials, all of your transactions. I mean, it was just government intrusion. And there was a penalty, Alex, if you were not in compliance, it was like $591 a day penalty. It's crazy. The government has no business doing such. Mark in Kentucky. Mark, thanks for holding. Welcome to AFR and our conversation with Alex Newman.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call, Mr. McFarland. I am going to address you, if you don't mind, as Alex. The other Alex, frankly, I just tuned into this channel while coming back from the chiropractor this morning, and I go, wow, you, sir, and I'm just going to try to keep this short, but keep this power, because you, sir, are someone, and you said it. You said it earlier. You said, I was told, I went through cemetery. Somehow you survived. You're still alive and vibrant, because the guy that told you we can't talk about politics was dead wrong, and you knew that.
Yeah.
And glory to God for giving you that inspiration. Because the thing is that we look what happened here. We say, what happened? Well, the declaration was made by the church. Who do we serve? Well, government told us we can't have church today. 98% of them shut their doors.
I know.
I serve a mighty God, right? And I don't want to get on my soapbox here, but I'm in good company here with the two of you. And I'm on this radio station, and I'm thankful for it. But let's, you know, I'm going to go out way out on a limb, and I'm going to say, look, I think the church has gone so far as to idolize the Bible. And what I mean by that is, what did Jesus do? He went around with a bunch of fishermen and taught them how to live, right? And he didn't say, go in your prayer closet and read your Bible all day. He said, let's get out on the streets and let's do something. Let's advance this whole thing. God sent his only son to earth to show us in the real that this can be done. Now, Jesus is the only one that lived a perfect life. And we can't, but we can. Right? And so I guess what I'm trying to say is that I'm so thankful for the people that are out there like you that are doing this, but somehow we've got to get this religious jacket off, right? We've got to wake up and realize that we've got the playing field back because God heard our prayer. And,
Amen.
And Trump is he's just a guy, right? But and he's not our savior. But we've got the field back. The question is, what are we going to do with it?
Right. Hey, Alex, weigh in on this. Thank you so much, Mark.
Hey, man, I couldn't agree with you more. We have a historic opportunity here. And historically, for centuries, the church has been on offense. The church has been conquering new ground, not through weapons, not through carnal weapons, but through the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to get back to doing that. It begins in our homes with our own children, with our own families. It begins in our communities. And then from there, we must, as Jesus commanded us, disciple the nations. We must make disciples. We must baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We must teach them to observe, to obey everything that he has commanded us. And we have an incredible opportunity right now that I believe God has given us. Let's make the most of it. And I agree with you, Paul, 100%. We need to be out there doing what God has called us to do on offense conquering ground for our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King of all kings and who is coming back.
Scott from Mississippi, I'm so sorry we didn't get your call. He had a question about the end times. If you would listen to my weekend show this weekend, the last weekend before Christmas, I'm going to be talking about the connection between Christ's first coming and his second. Believe it or not, the birth of Christ and eschatology. That's on my weekend show. Hey, Alex Newman, thank you so much. You're great as always. And again, Liberty Sentinel and his new book, Indoctrinating Our Children to Death. Well, Alex McFarland here. Thanks to Alex Newman. Thanks to Randy Lucius and our production team. It's a great honor to be with you. I'll see you again this afternoon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.